whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Hey, welcome to Bustin' Balls. I'm Pat Caputo along with the webmaster. I call him my main G, Gentman Jenkins. And we're going to go out and get the Modern Slang Dictionary to understand what the hell that means. But yeah, you can follow him on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Gentman Jenkins. And he's a brilliant webmaster. He's also the king of Michigan State football, as far as I'm concerned. He's the guy who sits up there in the corner with Rico Beard and Marty Martin. Yep. And they sit there and they commence in their misery. You know, Marty is a radio personality, I suppose. And, you know, they sit there and they watch the Spartans lose. They watch Aiden Childs throw interceptions. And I found that Michigan State season had promise. And it looked like they have their quarterback for the future. And then by the end of the year, it kind of all fell apart, Evan. They were an easy team to beat. When you think about it, Purdue probably should have beaten them. And given that Purdue lost 66-0 to IU and fired their coach, not a good thing. So what happened to the Spartans? Dude, come on, help me.
Well, I mean, I believe I saw a stat that this year's defense was actually worse than last year's defense, where I didn't think that would be possible, like statistically. And when they lost, Pat, I mean, they lost minus the Boston College game. But those last few games of the year, I mean, they showed heart in the Michigan State game, which was fine. But
they beat Iowa, and I thought things were going well.
So did I. And then it all went away. It all went away. And they ran the ball well. Their offensive line looked good. But it all comes down to defense. I mean, their defense wasn't there. Their offensive line never showed up other than that Iowa game. And, I mean, the elephant in the room is always going to be number two, and that's Aiden Childs and what he does and how he matures from his, I guess, sophomore year to junior year. I didn't particularly love his comments about the fans at the end of the season, and he's sticking with the ones that showed up. And it's like, dude, you played on a crappy team. It was crappy weather. You played against a Rutgers team that doesn't exactly get fans in the stands. I didn't love that, but I also understood where he was coming from, that he wants to perform well for the Spartans that do care. But dude, I had this conversation the other day, and Pat, tell me if I'm wrong, but I'm 41 years old, and I've seen a handful of good seasons for Michigan State football in my entire life. And at some point, I wonder, do we have to realize that that's just what they are and stop having these crazy high expectations that they could be those teams under Mark D'Antonio all the time, where that's obviously not going to happen, and you have to hope for more of magic like they did with Kenneth Walker. But still, even at the end of the day, they played in a Peach Bowl. That's whoop-de-doo. What does that do for you? Nothing. Where they have to be able to do something like an Indiana and a Kurt Cignetti to be able to find players that fit to your offense and your defensive scheme. But after watching this year with Jonathan Smith and Joe Rossi, I don't know what that is, Pat. I have no idea what the identity of Michigan State football is. And I think that's the biggest glaring need, hole, want, is to have an identity. Do you want to be this tough team that's going to run the ball? Do you want to be this team that can be athletic and fast and be able to throw the ball all over the field with Aiden Childs and Nick Marsh and these receivers? I have no idea what the hell their identity is, and that's a huge problem in college football. You go look across the Big Ten, and these teams want to be tough, and they want to run the ball, but then I see these hard play fakes out of them that takes so long to develop when you don't have an offensive line, and it makes me wonder, what the hell are they seeing that they're still calling these plays? Like, Pat, I'm so confused on what I watched this year, because at the beginning of the year, you saw a promise and you're like, you know what, maybe they can do a little bit better and be a 7-5 football team. No, instead they're a 5-7 football team that you feel empty, you feel disappointed, and you feel that there is no hope. But maybe Jonathan Smith really needed to come in here, have his ass kicked, to be humbled and to realize that this isn't Oregon State, this isn't the Pac-12, this is something completely new that you're going to have to embrace. And I am so confused and flustered that I don't know where they go from here, and I don't know what my expectations should be.
Well, first of all, the secondary was decimated by the end of the year.
Absolutely.
It just was. I mean, they had, like, their third team out there. But, you know, their defensive line, which started pretty well, by the end of the year looked pretty mediocre.
Pat, they went, like, six games without a sack. That just – you fall into a sack.
You're right. And their linebacker play was just okay, but their defense is their problem. And the second issue is the quarterback good enough? I mean, in fairness to their defense, the quarterback turned the ball over like crazy in the games that they were competitive in and before the walls came crumbling down. So they should have won a couple more games. You mentioned the Boston College game. That was one they should have won. The Michigan game. They were in the driver's seat early, and then all of a sudden the same problem happened. And the tide was turned, and then they couldn't, you know, stop the faucet from running. So yeah, they had all these different issues. And the question is, should you get a different quarterback? Because this is the fact of life, all right? And I don't know what Child's NIL deal is, all right? This comes into play. You know, how long-term it is. But the bottom line about it is that's not good enough.
No.
You cannot win with a quarterback like that. You cannot. He at times looks really good. And people are like, oh, man, he was the number one transfer portal guy last year, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody wanted him. And he was supposed to be a player who came here with Velleen and the center Miller that were going to really turn around things. Kind of like what the James Madison kids have done for Cignetti at Indiana. And it just didn't happen that way. Velleen was pretty mediocre. I expected him.
If even that, Pat. Yeah, I would say he was less than mediocre.
I thought he was going to be like a 60-catch guy.
He led the Pac-12 in like red zone touchdowns last year, and we didn't see any of that with him.
None of it. And he wasn't. They have tight ends. Like Musgrave was the tight end there before him at Oregon State. So I don't know what that was about. The center was a good player. And that's
part of the reason
they were able to block, through the middle and got a lot of runs up the middle with their running backs. But, you know, their backs were just okay. And their receiver, it's like Nick Marsh and, you know, Montori Foster had been there for how long and all that. So he wasn't necessarily an answer. And somebody like Nick Marsh gets caught in this malaise, everybody's going to come after him.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, is he going to stay there? You know, do you know that? You know,
I mean, hearing them talk, it seems like Childs and Marsh will definitely stay for next year. But next year goes sour, then you're going to lose so many damn kids. It's crazy. And in this NIL era, you bring up Aiden Childs, and the question goes, like, you pay this kid however much money that you can't pull him because you are paying him this much, and you promised him to do this, and you don't want him to transfer because he is whatever to your program. But then how does that look to kids in the future that, yes, we'll pay you to come in, but then we're just going to bench you? Like, I think it's such a gray area with college sports right now with NIL that, like, they are getting paid like professionals. They're getting paid handsomely. If you go look at, like, the quarterback for the University of Michigan next year, he's going to make a lot of money.
$2.2 million for over 4-year period a year.
That can you sit that kid paying that much money? Or do the parents come in? Does it create drama within the locker room? Is the kid going to be sour? I'm not saying that's happening in Michigan. I'm just using that as an example because we know the actual amount that the kid's getting. And do the players side with them? Do they want to see it? It's such a conundrum that you don't know what to do, and we're not inside there. And let's be honest, Jonathan Smith isn't exactly creating a podcast anytime soon because he's not exactly the most entertaining talker that you've ever heard, that you don't get too much out of him. But you got to hope that he embraces the suck this year and uses that as a stepping stone to propel into next year. And in college football, and today, you can go to the transfer portal and you can completely overhaul your team and look completely different from year to year. I mean, Indiana is always going to be my example because Indiana has sucked I mean, since the history of Indiana football, I think it was, what, 87 or some year like that, that they were okay.
Yeah, but what Indiana did was bring in the 10 players from James Madison.
Right.
And the way teams, like I told you this, and I was half tongue-in-cheek on it, because I know Tommy Huster was a hero of yours.
Yeah, when Chippewa Valley legend.
Yeah, when they won the state championship and all that. But they would have been better off with Tommy Huster at quarterback.
Managing the game, absolutely.
He can make throws and do things. If you ever, you know, watch, you know, the tape from him in North Dakota, he was pretty damn good.
A four-year kid there, yeah. He played, like, right off the rip. And it's just, it's so confusing. And you have to sit here and wait and hope that he attacks the transfer portal. Like he says he will. I guess at the end of the year presser that he was trying to even up college or high school recruits with transfer portal kids, and you know that could be roughly 30 new kids to your roster next year. And I don't know even this year if he was able to embrace the rivalry, the weather, the everything in the Midwest compared to being out west. And I'm going to give the guy a chance because, I mean, if we turned our back on Mark D'Antonio after his first year, we would have never gotten those special years. So you have to look at it like that. But I think year two is going to be huge for him. If he doesn't go to a bowl game, I would be okay with them moving on and looking for somebody else.
Well, here's the thing with Smith, though. You know, you mentioned D'Antonio. D'Antonio, he was aware of all that. See, he had coached at Michigan State before under Saban. He had worked for Tressel. Jonathan Smith doesn't have that type of lineage, you know, when it comes down to who he's been his mentors. He just doesn't. And, yeah, I think he's obviously a good coach, but is he the coach that's going to work here? And you mentioned kind of the down feeling at the end of the year. I think the Michigan State fan base is kind of like feels hopeless right now. Like they don't see a way out because the conference now has Oregon, USC, Washington, and has added, you know, some powerful teams. I don't know where UCLA fits into that. They're kind of messed up, but, you know, it's just not the same, you know, where you looked at it and said, well, if you can knock off Michigan, and knocking off Michigan looks like it's tough. The recruiting comes out. Michigan's in the top 10 in every service. They got Underwood. This is the standard recruiting. And Michigan State's in the high 40s or early 50s, depending on who you're looking at. They've got a couple four-star guys. You know, a kid from Frankenmuth. Whoa.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you but they know, had to go and flip their own kid that's right down the street. Now, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't blame a kid from East Lansing wanting to go play football at Alabama. I would never tell that kid to not make that choice. But just the fact that you have this kid in your backyard that you recruited so hard that you had to get to flip back. And half the times I feel like those kids do it just for their own personal attention and want more attention. But that's the world we live in. I just excuse me. I understand I have to be patient, but I've been patient with Michigan State my entire life. And thank God it's basketball season right now. And I can at least depend on being good, maybe not great, but being good. And hey, at some point they're going to have to step up because you're right, Pat. Big Ten got better. Ohio State's not going anywhere. Michigan's obviously not going anywhere. Penn State's playing in the Big Ten title game. Indiana now seems like a juggernaut in the Big Ten, which is crazy. Iowa's always good. You don't have the division.
Illinois is better.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, you got to step it up. It's big boy time here when it seemingly is the Big Ten and the SEC right now. Those are the two power conferences. You can say what you want about the Big 12 and the ACC, but they're just not up to par. And, I mean, go look at the college football playoff this year. You're probably going to have four teams from the Big Ten and four from the SEC, which is crazy to think about. But, Pat, they got a lot of work to do. I do think Aiden Chiles, if he can limit his turnovers to maybe one a game, which is even crazy to say, I think they could be a lot better. But I think a lot fell on his shoulders this year, and he felt that he needed to make superhero plays. And I'm sorry, in this league, it's just not possible. They're going to figure out what you can and cannot do, and they're going to attack those things.
Yeah, it seems like when he was up against teams that had real good coaches, it suddenly went against him. And when you look at it from this standpoint, at least throughout most of your time, they did have the D'Antonio era, the 3 years in which they were top five, six teams in the country. They did make the college football playoffs once. And that Rose Bowl win they had, they would have been in a college football playoff Final Four that year if it came to that. But a lot of times, Michigan State's usually, I would say, comparable to Iowa. I would say they're comparable to Wisconsin. You know, that they're one of the, if they were in the West instead of the East, they would have, you know, been in more contention. I think the concern right now is that when you look at the Big Ten, there's this big list of haves. All right. Oregon, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, that's right up at the top. And then you've got others who are in better position to join them, like USC, like Washington, and some others added to the conference. And Michigan State has been pushed down, you know, to where they're in the category of Rutgers. It sounds terrible. Purdue and Indiana, I don't know if that's
Northwestern.
Northwestern. They've never quite been so low that you thought they were in that category. When I look at it right now, I see them in that category. Is that fair or unfair?
No, I think you're absolutely correct. They haven't been this low since John L. Smith was the coach. And coincidentally, we have another John Smith coach on the team.
Yeah, maybe not so lucky with the Smiths. So.
I know. Yeah, Pat, it just, you know how bad I want them to win. And listen, I'm one of the fans. I'm going to watch every minute of every game, no matter how down they are. I mean, that's just the team that I root for the most. And it just, it hurts me on the inside because I want them to be so good. And for me, being a Michigan State fan who sent most of my life telling Michigan fans to stop living in the past, that's all that I have. So I have to take that one back. I can't use it anymore. But, I mean, it's really ringing true for them.
Yeah, I just wonder how well they're established for things like NIL.
I mean, Pat, you go look at all these donors and schools are fine. I mean, hell, Michigan's finding the head of Oracle to sponsor their guys. But we have, I think, and this is my own personal opinion. It doesn't mean I have information. I think they screwed up kind of pitting Ishbia and Gilbert against one another, giving one this sponsorship, one that sponsorship, when in reality, it seems like those two men don't like one another, that they're not going to try to have
a
pitching match.
Well, they don't like one another.
But
they're main rivals in the mortgage industry.
Yeah, but those guys are your biggest boosters. I mean,
right.
And the problem is, Tom Gorris is another one that is a filthy rich dude that graduated from your school. But just so happens two of them own NBA teams. And I don't know if that restricts them from giving money to the university.
All three of them own NBA teams.
Oh, all three. Yeah, I wasn't even thinking about Gilbert there for a second. But it's just, Pat, it's crazy because you have these crazy rich donors, whether it's Magic Johnson. I mean, who has more money than that guy? Nobody. And right. And there was that St. Juice guy that was paying Tucker all that money from his contract. And you wonder if that situation made boosters or people that donate to be like, I don't know if I want to be part of this. Because, I mean, basically you're just giving money away for free because I don't believe you get tax write-offs or anything from that. So you have to find the right dude that or male or female, I guess, that is a diehard Michigan State fan that's willing to burn millions of dollars every single year. And is Michigan State – I mean, I saw Darian Harris went on X, and he was talking about Michigan State's NIL program is just fine and this and that and everything in between that. I don't know if I buy it. I mean, if I were a booster or if I had that kind of money, I would happily give it to Michigan State to go get me the biggest and best players. But at the same time, the LSUs, the Michigans, the Alabamas, all these schools have big-time money. So you still have to sell your school at the end of the day. And right now, that's kind of a big problem.
Well, that is part of it. You know, the school's reputation, too, is taking a hit down through the years.
Absolutely.
You know, when you're talking about off the – well, some of it obviously had to do with sports, But, you know, there's always infighting. Now, there's two hopes. They got a new president now.
Yeah.
All right. And is he going to be somebody that provides some stability?
Well, it's a guy that came from the University of North Carolina, too, where, you know, basketball is huge there, but they've tried to make a push with football as well. So I think Michigan State is very similar to North Carolina in that regard. So hopefully he understands that.
And they don't have the guy from the alumni club or whatever, you know, being the athletic director. They got Alan Haller's done an outstanding job as athletic director. The hockey team is number one. The gymnastics program, which is very important symbolically, you know, has risen to prominent heights. You know, all across the board, they're athletic. But football is the one that drives the machine. Basketball's still okay. We'll see what Izzo does this year. But, you know, gosh, Michigan's a lot better. You know, so, you know, that could come back to haunt him because Michigan did get a big-time coach. And he brought in some big-time transfer portal guys, including these Twin Towers.
Oh, my God, Pat, don't even get me started. I don't even want to think about them being good at basketball again. Okay, well, I had it great with Juwan. But, Pat, as a basketball fan, that Wolf kid is super impressive from Yale. He can handle the ball. He can do it all. He plays like a small forward. And then you got this Golden dude that's another seven-footer that's just planting his ass down low. He can set pick and rolls. And I will say this. I hope nobody clips this because you know how much I hate Michigan. They have one of the coolest nicknames I've ever heard in Area 51.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's pretty cool.
So
Michigan State, or how relevant? I mean, it's got to keep its relevance. And I'm sitting there looking at this list, and I don't know what it means. And I know, as an alum, I was looking at this, and it used to be like hard to get into Michigan State. You know, I mean, it was hard.
I couldn't have gotten in.
But 84% of the people applying for Michigan State now are accepted.
Wow.
You know, I saw that, and I did a double take because, man, I knew a lot of people that wanted to get in. They just couldn't get in. And it seems like, you know, everybody knows how difficult it is to get into Michigan. And I'm looking at it, it's like, it's harder to get into Oakland, and now I don't know who's applying all the time, but it seems like there's been a decline in the school's reputation, and I think it affects football. I mean, if you're some kid right now, are you thinking, I want to play for Michigan State? That's pretty far down on your list of things, even if you're a Michigan kid.
I agree. Right?
And I think that they have to change that. They did for a while. And they did, I think, when they had success in the past under Perlis. You know, they did have a couple years, a Rose Bowl year. Obviously, they had some success under Saban, although the best success happened and he left right away after that. They did have a kind of a cachet. But they have no imprint right now in Metro Detroit. None. I mean, their imprint is nothing. Now it's a little bit better out state, but come on. You know, you've got to be proactive. I don't know how many people discuss Michigan State anymore, other than, you know, a couple people like you and me sitting here, you know, chit-chatting about it.
Yeah. You know? When they were at their peak, I mean, Michigan State basketball was also doing good. So they were, like, at the height of their popularity, and everybody wanted to be a Spartan dog and blah, blah, blah. But it's like... You're right. They're not sending dudes to the pros. I mean, they do pretty well with receivers. If you think about it, Jalen Naylor's playing well. Jaden Reed's playing well. Connor Hayward's okay with Pittsburgh. You look at Kenneth Walker in the NFL. They're still putting dudes in the NFL. But yeah. Money's going to talk now.
How many people from this team are going to play in the NFL? Seriously. Your 2024 Spartans.
Marsh probably will.
Marsh is the one guy.
If
I were some big donor from, like, I don't know, Georgia or something, first thing I'd do is like, hey, Nick, you know, this is Pat Caputo. I got a couple million for you. That's the first thing. He would be target one, you know, because, you know, in fairness to the kid, if he were to leave, who would blame him? I mean, is he going to get the best, you know, attention, whatever, if he's playing with a quarterback who's got a scattered arm and doesn't seem to be mature and he's surrounded by teammates who aren't very good? So it's an issue right now. I don't know what the answer is, Evan. I do feel that Alan Haller is an excellent athletic director, mm-hmm. and he's got a football background. And he'll clean up things. You won't see shenanigans there. You know, he, you know, worked for the DPS, all those things. He's a straightforward, straight shooting dude, and he's smart. And, you know, the new president is certainly, he can't be any worse than Samuel Stanley or whoever that was, or Luana K. Simon and you know, what she represented. And then, you know, the interim president that was clueless. But they got in their board of trustees. I mean, it's even worse than when they had the old, I don't know. I can use this on a podcast. The old fucks in there. You know, I mean, they were in there forever and they were, you know, hardly enlightened. And they always wanted to control everything. So I honestly, just looking at it, am perplexed. And that ending of the season, you know, it was terrible. It's nothing's worse than apathy, you know, and nobody cares. And Michigan State football by the end of the year might as well have been Eastern Michigan.
Yeah.
For all the, you know, anybody cared or thought about it. And this was the year in which Michigan was basically horseshit for most of the year. Mm-hmm. And they, when they got into the Michigan game, they had them right away. They had a Michigan was at its most vulnerable point, and they're the ones who helped Michigan get back into it. You know, a couple passes here, you know, trick plays there, and all of a sudden they lose it.
Yep.
So I find this to be, you know, really really odd for Michigan State. So
I think it's the biggest offseason they've had in a long time.
And I thought I'd bring it up today, just to make you feel better.
Thanks, Pat.
You know, I know you had that picture of D'Antonio and Izzo sitting on the sideline on your desk. We won't even have desks anymore.
Tis the season, Pat.
So anyway, enjoyed the podcast. Hope you did. Evan, appreciate it as always. Don't forget to like us at the iTunes store. Subscribe to us. Google Play store as well. And, of course, Odyssey.com. Pat Caputo 98 on X, Gentman Jenkins on X. And of course, you can check out the Facebook pages, mine, and of course, the stations at 97.1 The Ticket. Till next time, we'll see you.